This is the Blaze Radio on demand.
Regardless, whoever wins the White House, we are facing serious geopolitical and economic challenges that could lead to the next great financial crisis. You need a recognized safe haven asset for your portfolio and IRA, and that asset is gold. Call Goldline and add physical gold to your portfolio or IRA at 800-913-GOLD. Goldline, been helping people diversify their portfolio with gold for over 55 years, rated A-plus by the BBB. Read Goldline's important risk information, but do it now, because crazy times are coming. 800-913-GOLD. 800-913-GOLD.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Hello, America, and welcome to Glenn. As of today, we have a brand new season underway here at The Blaze for my program. Whole new look, whole new feel. And it really came from you. After spending about 5 years saying, I've got to do a different kind of show, I can't keep doing the same show over and over again, we have finally hired the team around me that could help me talk to you, listen to you, and come up with the shows that we think you want to hear. It's not enough anymore just to tell you about the problems. We have to have the solutions, we have to get into the culture, and we also have to teach. And so, let me just go over the schedule, as it will be next week, but you'll see some of these shows this week. On Monday, you're going to see a show very similar to one you're going to see tonight called The Think Tank. The Think Tank is, if you ever watched and liked Real News, it's kind of like that. It's a group of the smartest people in the building, the people who put my show together every day, and we talk about the issues of the day. And they will be from foreign policy to politics to culture and movies. Again, like I said, if culture is the head of the dog, politics is the tail. By the time it gets here, we get crap all over ourselves. We've got to get closer to the head of the dog. So everything will be on the table for there, and that's where you'll get your news fix, if you will. Then, on Tuesday, will be his story. I've always been fascinated by the word history because it has the word story in it. And that's the problem. Nobody teaches history as if it is a story. They teach it with the dates and the names and then old dusty pictures. We're going to tell you the story. And next week, it's a two-parter. It will start with Tesla and Edison. And it is a story of heroes and villains and bloody murder. That is the story that we will tell on Tuesday, his story. Actually, I think it begins tomorrow, doesn't it? So the first episode is tomorrow, but it'll usually be on Tuesday nights. On Wednesday, something called The Vault. I have 8,000 artifacts that are sitting in a vault, and most of the world never gets to see it. It's what we bring out into our history and our museum and open the doors here of the Mercury Museum once a year. I don't think that's right. Everything in history is wrong. We have in our history vault, we have the pamphlets that we dropped over Japan before we ever dropped the atomic bomb. You know, the argument about how much we love war, how much we wanted to kill everybody in Japan because we're racist pigs? No, when you see what we dropped over Japan, 8 million leaflets that you've never, ever seen or heard of, we'll show them to you. And we'll tell you the stories in both history and the vault of the principles and the values that make us into the people that survive and change the world. On Thursday, we'll do an interview. I think we have Bill O'Reilly coming up, and we'll also do an audience show. But there's other things that are in production as well that you will see. We are working right now on a series on the Constitution, teaching the Constitution. Mike Lee has agreed to help us on that. We hope to have Ted Cruz a part of that as well. We're bringing Founders Fridays back. Those are in production. Another one is the blackboard, this giant blackboard, to explain just one thing in the world that is happening. We'll lay it out like nobody else can. We're also working on Black history, a history bee with kids, and our ancestors. Who were they? So it's all fluid, but I think you're really going to like the new season of Glenn. Tonight, come on, I'm taking you in to the think tank. All right, conspiracy freaks. Can we start with the conspiracy? I have a new conspiracy.
Oh, man.
I don't know if you guys saw the video of Hillary Clinton where the piece of metal fell out of her pants.
Yes, we watched that this morning.
Yes, okay. She's a robot. She's a robot.
I can see that. I did read on Reddit, though, someone was, I mean, Reddit is, you know, really good news. They were saying it could be silverware from the White House.
Yes, very good point.
That's a good point, too.
So, Pat, actually, yesterday, when this story broke, now, he has softened on this, but he has come to me and honestly said, body double. That the woman...
I saw that, too.
Okay? He believed that. Anybody believe
that? The woman after, coming out of Chelsea's apartment?
Yes, their noses are different.
Come on!
You gotta look at the pictures.
Jason pointed out that her hips were different. I did not say that, but he did.
Well, she did look like she was a little bit heftier and like when she's wearing that blue Kim Jong-un outfit. But it could be a vest. I've seen protectees
guys,
wear a
if
vest.
If you, really, you're going that far, you don't get like, not like, I mean, you at least get like, padded pants to make her hips look bigger. You just send somebody out who's a lot skinnier than Hillary Clinton, like, nobody's going to notice.
I mean, it's all very possible that she has dropped a lot of weight over the past few months.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
That's legit. This is what's not legit, though. So, all right, so I've actually been in this profession before where you have a protectee and you're protecting this person. Exactly, with the same protocols as the Secret Service does. You, in an instant like that, if the protectee goes down, There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Straight to the hospital. No ifs, ands, or buts. You go straight to the hospital.
But instead, they took her to Chelsea.
It would override anything that Clinton would say. It would override that. It would say, "I'm sorry, ma'am, but we're going to the hospital."
So, what do you think that is?
To me, that tips off that they're managing an ongoing problem. That they already know that she has a problem. They're managing that situation. They already had a protocol in effect to say, okay, if she has another episode, which she's been having probably, I would say almost every other day she might be having something like this. Mm-hmm. They would say, okay, instantly to this safe house or this safe area.
Okay, so this is a really interesting, I'm glad you brought this up. For anybody who doesn't know, Jason used to be one of my protectors. And he worked for, honestly, I would rather have Gavin DeBecker as my protective unit than the Secret Service. We've walked up to the Secret Service with guns, and they were like, whatever. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. My people, you don't walk up to my people with guns. But anyway, so you were there. And when I was really sick, we did have situations where you had to, I mean, they've carried me off a plane before and tried to get me into hotels where I couldn't function. And we've had to hide that stuff. I saw this as... her having some problem that they all know about. Pat had a problem because she came out and was by herself, and she wouldn't be by herself if she was going to fall. And I'm like, here's the argument that happened, and tell me if I'm wrong. The argument that happened up in Chelsea's place was somebody like you said, I have to be there in case you fall. If you face plant, it's over. And then somebody like me or an aide of mine saying, if Glenn doesn't walk out by himself and look super healthy, it's over anyway.
Yeah.
Right? Do you agree?
Exactly. No, totally agree.
Right.
But, I mean, how many times? I mean, if we'd be planning for you to go somewhere, let's say, we would have 3 to 4, like one main and 3 to 4 backup medical facilities to take you to.
And that you do that for everybody.
Everyone.
Everybody.
Now, this is Hillary Clinton. You know, she already has a Secret Service detail. She's had it for years. They have all of these protocols in place. The moment, if this was legit, I mean, the moment she went down and she went unconscious, unresponsive, boom, straight to the hospital. She would have woken up and she'd be like, whoa, what happened? Where are we going? Ma'am, we're en route to the hospital. We'll be there in 5 minutes. I don't care what she would say. We would go there regardless.
The way that they reacted, is that normal? Because it looked like all of her staff surrounded her and almost blocked off from any cameras.
I'm telling you.
The way she was walking, Jason, the way she was walking and holding on to that person's hand and everything, I believe that was...
That crazy.
It's absolutely, they know, they've seen this before.
They're managing an ongoing crisis. This is ongoing. Now, they're shooting themselves in the foot with not just coming out and saying, look, yes, we're managing an ongoing crisis. Now they're just lying about it. It's just a big spin.
But I don't think that, does anybody think that the Clintons are capable of telling the truth? I don't mean that as a slam. I mean, they have, let me put it in the kindest of ways. They have been under attack since the early 1990s. Everything that they do, say, or move is analyzed and scrutinized. They have told everybody, don't say anything because they'll take everything out of context. I don't think they are capable of being transparent anymore.
Yeah.
And on top of it, they're dirty criminals.
Right.
But I don't think they're capable. And so what's happening is it's making it worse because they are incapable of telling the truth. If they would have come out after her fall and said, hey, after her fall with the eyes, I think if they would have come out and been truthful on that, it would have been a lot easier and a lot better.
Look how scripted that instance where you were just talking about when she came out by herself. The little girl comes running up.
Oh, and, I know.
Oh,
yeah.
Hi.
It just looks seemed
so
like
scripted.
A Russian propaganda.
Exactly.
I mean, it was crazy.
It was over the top. It was ridiculous.
It looked like she was overdoing it. It looked like the balloon fall when she was like, oh my gosh, those are balloons. I've heard about these magical things before.
Now, where's Bill in this? Has Bill come out at all? Or have they tried to, you know, hear anything from the family? It's just been her campaign.
But in 1996, Bill did say that the American public deserves to know a presidential candidate's health. And that's when he released all his records. But
that's when he was going against Bob Dole.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. When he was the young guy.
But speaking of Russia, Russian propaganda, did anyone see what Giuliani said about Trump and Putin?
Yeah, can we play it?
Yeah, we have a soundbite.
Watch.
We've seen Mr. Trump take some heat for praising Vladimir Putin. Is it appropriate to praise a dictator who represses their own people and violates international?
See, I don't think he did. And then I think he clarified it the next day. And he started clarifying during the debate. What he said was, and I really don't want to talk politics, but let me just explain this. What he said was, just because he flatters me doesn't mean he's going to get a better deal. You got to know Donald Trump.
But he also said, if he says nice things about me, I'm going to say nice things about him.
Well, the same thing Reagan did with Gorbachev. I mean, Reagan and Gorbachev dealt with each other, and it was the Soviet Union then. And Gorbachev was a killer just like Putin is a killer. But that ended the Cold War without firing a shot because Reagan was capable of walking out of Reykjavik. As Trump made clear the other night in Pensacola, he's perfectly capable of walking out of a deal if it's not in the best interest of the United States. It wouldn't be the first time he walked out of a deal. And generally, when, you know, I've known Donald for 28 years, when he walks out of a deal, they come back on his terms, just like they did with Reagan and Reykjavik.
That is an insult to both Gorbachev and Reagan.
I can't believe it.
Gorbachev was not Vladimir Putin.
And he wanted to demilitarize the Soviet Union. And there's now a video of Russia flexing their military might. It's insane. I can't believe Rudy Giuliani. I'm so disappointed in him.
I can't. Yeah. You know, I've asked you guys to do research for a while now on Russia and to find out if Trump is a useful idiot or if he's involved in the alt-right and the Russia thing. I watched this and the interview with him with Larry King. He is the most uninformed, ill-informed guy I've ever seen on Russia, if he's just a useful idiot.
To have an American presidential candidate flatter a dictator that kills people in any capacity.
Really? What's the difference between him and President Obama in Cuba?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would almost reverse the rules. Because Reagan, he came in dealing with the whole Soviet issue, saying that the past liberal policy of appeasement was accommodation was appeasement. Reagan dealt with the situation from a position of strength. Gorbachev dealt with the position from a place of weakness. He knew that he had to play ball. Now the roles are reversed. Putin is becoming almost like the Reagan individual, as saying, "Hey, we're the people we're negotiating from strength. You guys are negotiating from a position of weakness." So Trump is actually playing that. Oh, you know, whatever you want. You know, I'm not gonna. You know, I'm gonna kowtow to you, basically. So I would almost just completely reverse those
roles. Anybody think about it? Have you guys been reading this stuff mainly from the alt-right that is supporting Putin, supporting Russia, and saying that Hillary Clinton is just going to get us into third world war with Russia? You guys been reading that? They're saying that she's just a globalist that hates Russia and going to get us into war, and Trump will keep us out of war with Russia.
So Trump is more along the lines of, I don't, at this point, we're almost on like a point of no return where it's going that direction anyway.
Either way.
I want to
find the video. I want you to find the video we can play this week or next week of Vladimir Putin. I think it was back in the spring, sitting at a table like this with a bunch of Western journalists.
Yep.
You know that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Find that video where he said, I've been trying to tell your people we're already at war. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not avoiding this. You can minimize it, but you're not going to avoid this. We're already in war.
That was in response to back when we first created the anti-ballistic missile shield. And he was like, look, this is one of our red lines. Don't go there. We have a treaty in place. Don't go there. Now, Bush was actually the one that actually upended that and pursued it. We didn't need to do that. We probably shouldn't have done it. Well, you're looking at now, just over the weekend, Russia just did military drills in Crimea.
Bad.
And I tell you what, I was a Marine. I was a part of a MAGTAF. Its sole goal was to go after, and we would do these exercises. The whole goal was to show that we can invade these countries and take them over in a matter of 72 hours. That's exactly what this goal was for, these exercises. In fact, do we have some of the video from those exercises?
This is amazing.
Just to
tell Crimea we're coming.
Yeah.
Tell Ukraine we're coming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ukraine.
That's incredible. What is going on right now currently between Russia and Ukraine? Is it still as bad as it was maybe, you know, end of last year, beginning of last year?
It's getting worse. It's gotten a lot worse. Just this past month, an FSB agent was killed and a Russian army person was killed within Crimea. Russia said it was because Ukraine was sending over sabotage people, basically terrorists, to come over and sabotage the Crimean government.
Who's better as president? The one who couldn't understand the word reset, or the one who thinks he's not so bad?
Oh my gosh.
What are they?
At this point, that's a good question. At this point, I would rather have, and I'll probably get killed for this, someone that's willing to stand up to him. At this point. I don't want the guy that's willing to let him do everything he wants to unimpeded.
So which one is that?
You want to get me to say Clinton's better on
No,
Russia?
I don't want you to say whatever you want. No, I want you to, which one? I honestly don't know which one's better.
Spit it out, Jason.
I think that Clinton is better at dealing with Putin. I don't like bullies. I want the person that's going to stand up to a bully, not enable the bully. I think you mean
Tim Kaine, because Hillary, she's not going to make it. Not for the long haul.
Yeah.
No, I think a vote for Hillary is a vote for Kaine. I mean, I just don't see her making it. I think this would give people people who didn't like Hillary Clinton on the left, who are like, I can't vote for her. Who am I going to vote for? Maybe I vote for Gary Johnson. I think this actually makes it stronger, because I know a lot of people on the left who are like, they hate her. Mm-hmm. And Kaine is her Sarah Palin to our John McCain. And so they're like, I'll do it for Kaine. I think he might become the president.
What do we know about Kaine?
I don't know much. You guys know?
Well, he's downright conservative compared to Hillary.
Yeah,
I know that.
I mean, I know he's got strong foreign policy creds. So I know that kind of counterbalances all of her gaffes.
So, you know, it's amazing how much we cared about Obama, but we don't care about him over in Asia now. How many times did he apologize, Bowie?
At least 18. And it wasn't just apologizing. It was pretty much trashing America. And we have a soundbite of it.
There's still too many children in poverty in the United States who still aren't getting enough to eat. That is also connected to education. And we still have a lot of children in a country so wealthy that on a day-to-day basis are not getting the kinds of educational opportunities that they deserve. You know, we have enough wealth to do it. The question is whether we have the political will to make the investments in these communities. Because we're such a big country, we haven't always had to know about other parts of the world. If you're in the United States, sometimes you can feel lazy and think, you know, we're so big, we don't have to really know anything about other people.
If nothing else, what he's done is he's generated more conversation around some topics that need to be talked about.
You know, we've had to deal with racism or conflict between races, ethnic groups, new immigrants. Also, America's not perfect. Look, it still has racial discrimination, and it still has its own problems. It should worry about its own problems. And I agree with that.
I can't take it.
It's so hard.
Notice he said it should worry about its own problems, not we should worry about our own problems.
I just think, what happened to him? What was his life like that he has no love for America at all?
He grew up a lot of time over there with a monkey and a parrot, and then he moved.
Well, there's that.
Then he moved over with his communist grandparents and the communist, Frank Marshall Davis. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah, it's that was rhetorical, I guess. But thank you.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, so this past Wednesday, the U.S. Civil Rights Commission issued a report that you're going to absolutely love what this was.
Oh, I know.
So the report said, religious exemptions to the protections of civil rights based upon classifications such as race, color, national origin, sex, disability status, sexual orientation, and gender identity, when they are permissible, significantly infringe upon their civil rights.
So, translate, anybody? What did that just say? This is the Civil Rights Commission of the United States of America. What did it just say?
They're trying to make they're trying to write in, like, gay marriage and all that stuff into the 14th Amendment, which
you
they basically
have nothing.
Already
have. Yeah, you right. have no, that. No religion can say no to civil rights. Why is religion our first right? Why is it called our first right? Anybody know why it's first right? It's in the Constitution. It's the first thing mentioned in the Bill of Rights. In the First Amendment, there's four things that it covers, but the first one is religion. And the reason why the founders put it there is because it is the cornerstone, and without religion, the entire thing falls apart. Mm-hmm. And if we don't have, the problem is we keep arguing, and I think this one says, look at the headline from the Washington Post, civil rights or religious liberty. Civil rights or religious liberty, which one's on top? Well, who can answer that? As that's posed, who can answer that question? Anybody?
Civil rights.
Civil rights, they just told us.
Civil rights, they just answered it for you. That's not even a legitimate question. Civil rights or religious liberty, it's impossible. The question is how do they fit together? They're a coin. Civil rights on one side of the coin, religious liberty on the other side of the coin. And if you don't have one side of the coin, it doesn't work. Nothing will hold you together. So you have to have the individual rights, but you also have to have the cement that holds everything together, the religious liberty. And so what it means is the elusive tolerance. The argument of tolerance is wrong. They've used the word tolerance to teach us how to be tolerant while teaching us how to be intolerant. So too many people in religion think that it is their right to say, I can't think of anything that is, that. Give me something that a religious person might say that is outrageous on gay marriage.
They've just condemned being gay as a sin in general.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, but they have a right to say that. They have a right to believe that. I have a right to say, you're not right about that, or you are right about that. That's why I was thinking, I'm having a hard time coming up with things that I don't believe. For instance, gays can't get married. Well, yes, they can, just not in my church.
Right.
In my church, they can't. And that is that's the other side of the coin, is my church can say, no, you don't have a right to pick my employees, tell me who I have to hire, tell me what my doctrine is, how I actually practice my religion. Notice it says in the Constitution, it is the right to practice your religion, not your right to worship, not your right to faith, the right to practice your religion. We have to be tolerant of those who don't practice religion or don't practice it the way we believe. So one religion can say, wait, I'm more tolerant. Well, no, because I'm being tolerant of you. You can do whatever you want. You can't force me. It's religious liberty and tolerance. It must always be together.
Well, let me add to this a little bit. The chairman of the commission, Martin Castro, said something that kind of it just sums it all up. The phrase is, religious liberty, religious freedom will stand for nothing except hypocrisy, so long as they remain code words for discrimination, intolerance, racism, sexism, homophobia, Islamophobia, Christian supremacy, or any form of intolerance.
Who is this? This is the head of the human...
The U.S. Civil Rights Commission. And the other thing, Castro headed his statement, this is what Washington Post said, with a quote attributed to John Adams, the government of the United States is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion. He pulled that from the Treaty of Tripoli signed by Adams in 1797.
Unbelievable. He also said, this system of government is wholly inadequate for anything other than a religious people. So you can argue all you want, but freedom doesn't happen without self-governance.
But look at that. That's coming from the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. That's the guy that's over it is saying this.
I don't recognize the civil rights movement anymore. Sarah, you were just talking about something about the not allowing Martin Luther King artifacts or something?
Yeah, so there's going to be a new African American museum that's going to open in September, and the King children, I'm sure you guys know, are like super notorious for not allowing any of the artifacts, or basically asking really ridiculous licensing fees for using sound bites or anything using Dr. King's voice. So they're going to allow nothing in the new museum, like, so nothing is going to be. But what I found interesting about the article was I had Deborah Richardson, the vice president of the National Center for Civil and Human Rights, said she does not believe the lack of major King material will diminish the new museum. The museum's purpose, she said, is much wider in scope, meant to overcome the entire range of the African-American experience. But what she says is, Dr. King, if you look at the whole arc of our experience, thousands of years before there were records of Western society, Dr. King and his work is just a blip.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Can you believe that?
Wait, who said that? She's the vice president for the National Center for Civil and Human Rights.
Did the King family respond?
Mm-mm. Wait, so is the King family...
Oh my gosh. So what... Wow, so now I don't know if we should have a holiday for Dr. Martin Luther King,
or
why should we have a holiday for a guy who's just a blip?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's insane. Well, the article was talking about that the children are apparently litigious with each other.
That family has so disgraced him.
Right. It's just
so disgraced him.
It's so sad because those are the things that, you know, aren't really being taught in schools, and those are the things that kids need to know. This is somebody who sacrificed his life to change something in our
culture.
They're
making him into a communist now.
And now he's
anyway,
just a blip. He's like a page in a history book, yep. And that's it.
So how do you tell the African-American story in America?
Right, without any of this stuff. Like, they wouldn't let... What was really funny about the story is that the siblings brought all of his stuff, like his traveling Bible. They brought all of these things to him for them to see, like, to the curator, but then they just left. Like, they were just like, oh no, here you can see them, but you can't, like, they're not going to even loan them to you. They're just kind of like dangling them in your face, like, here.
There's a lot of money to be made on Martin Luther King.
Are they even making it though?
The family is.
Really?
You can't play his I've Got a Dream speech.
Yep.
I can't play that except on the anniversary of the day he gave it, and I can play it only in a news clip. Other than that, it's owned by the King family, and they will sue you for it.
Wow.
So I don't know if some of you guys remember hearing about this. There was a bill going through the House like a couple months ago or whatever where they were going to make it to where if you were a family of a victim of 9/11, you could actually sue the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia.
Right.
About time. But of course, it's not a black and white issue. There's a whole lot of, you know, thing as far as like Saudi threats, you know, over towards us. They actually threatened to sell off about $1 trillion T-bills, treasury bills. Over here, which was basically more of like an empty threat, because if they would have done that to us, it would have collapsed our economy, but also would have collapsed theirs as well. You don't think so?
When they threatened that a while ago, yes. Now, the world is positioned. That threat is going to be made good at some point, whether it's now or not. But Russia, China, they're all positioning themselves to be able to dump T-bills. Mm. It's going to happen.
I'm just because it just seemed like an empty threat from Saudi Arabia, because I don't even think they have as many as they said they have. China and Japan both are about equal. They have the most. Now, China and Japan could do some serious damage to us if they wanted to. But the rest of our T-bills are split pretty evenly between all the OPEC countries. But what's interesting here, though, is the Obama administration has said they're going to veto it. Like, nope, we don't want you guys to be able to sue the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia.
Right.
But the House is pretty, you know, unified on this.
The House is, I've talked to House members, the House has gone in and they've read the actual 9/11 Commission report unredacted.
Yeah.
And those guys come out and they're pissed. They look at this and they can't say anything, but I've had several of them coming to me saying, tell people this needs to be unredacted. Hmm. Well, can you tell me anything that is, nope, just tell people this needs to be unredacted.
See, this is what you're going to find. You're not going to find King Salman, who said, yes, you guys go attack the World Trade Center. What you are going to find is you're going to find a prince or a friend of a prince who is in direct relation to the government. Mm-hmm. You are going to find that.
Yes.
Which gives us, you know, it gives us reason to say, okay, I'm going to sue the kingdom, you know, for damages. The problem is, though, what happens the next time one of our drones goes off, in Yemen, let's say, and we kill a ton of civilians? Well, then their families can turn right back around into the United States government. I guess my question is, do you think that's good?
No.
Should they be able to?
No. Again, this is the same problem with the Clintons and their secrecy. I mean, I keep going back, and in those days, there were no secrets. Everything's going to be shouted from the rooftops. Mm-hmm. That's now. There are no secrets. It's all coming undone. And again, by not telling us the truth about Saudi Arabia then, and it getting worse and worse and worse, and I'm telling you right now, the government has perjured themselves about Saudi Arabia. By doing that, they're pushing people into a corner, and now Congress is doing all they can to get people to pay attention and to get this out, and what's going to happen is it's just a bullet to the head. Everybody's just playing this game of Russian roulette, and eventually we get a bullet in the head.
So let me ask everybody this, though. Like, does it do any good for the families to go through suing the government?
Well, I think the question is how effective will the bill be? Because there is a provision that was put in saying that if the executive branch can prove that they're in pretty deep discussions with the country that's under question, then the family has no right to go ahead and sue.
Right.
The government's not going to. Oh, someday I hope to be able to tell you some stories on how the government can block you at every turn and do it with a smile on their face. If the government doesn't want you to have information, they're not going to give you that information. And they don't care what court or who you are, you're not going to get it. These families are going to be frustrated by the government, not even by the courts or Saudi Arabia, by us.
All these congressmen saying, we're voting for this, we want to protect these families, in hindsight, is really just...
It's a show.
It's a show to help their
political... I think they're probably some sincere, don't you?
Some, but you know, if you're talking about Chuck Schumer, then...
It's a show.
It's another question.
Yeah, some of them could be sincere, but isn't it just kind of false hope for some of these families?
Mm-hmm.
So they've been through so much. They've been through hell in the past 15 years.
But you might think to yourself, at least I'm doing my part.
Yeah.
Speaking of the hell that they went through for the family victims of the 9/11, weren't you just talking about something about pregnant women that didn't even want to bring their kids in?
Yeah, well, it's just kind of an interesting story. People that were pregnant when 9/11 happened and kind of how that changed their mindset of bringing a child into this world. So a lot of moms were saying that, you know, when 9/11 happened and I was about to have this baby, it just kind of changed my whole perspective of whether I want my child coming into a world like this. So do you guys think that would change your perspective you were expecting? No.
No. I mean, Tanya and I were trying to have a baby then, and, you know, we couldn't. We had to adopt Rafe. And we were talking about it right after September 11th, and it, no matter how bad, I mean, you know me, I'm the worst catastrophist you've probably ever met. We still live. We survive.
Yeah.
We survive.
This happened to me before I had children. Someone asked me, there was some scary stuff going on, and I said, it makes me not want to have children. And he said, no, yours... could be the child that changes everything.
You and I just talked about this last
week.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was really depressed on the way the world is going, and you're like, no.
I know, yeah. Our kids could be the ones to change it, so we can't give up.
So several things I want to get to quickly. I want to get to Mark Zuckerberg, but let's go to the woman that just died. She's in the famous Kiss Times Square.
I love that picture.
No, you don't. It's just...
I don't.
Did you hear...
No, okay, haven't you heard?
Okay, so the guy that kissed her was actually going on a date with his his future wife at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And then he picked her up and just kissed her. It was just, like, so random.
Whatever. And no, that's not the end of the story. There are now those saying that this was rape.
What?
No. Yes.
Who's saying that?
Yeah, there was a British writer a few years ago made a big splash about that this was, in our modern context, actual sexual assault.
Yeah.
Because
sexual assault.
He just grabbed her.
How dare you?
And planted the smooch on her.
How dare you celebrate the world not ending?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So demeaning.
And yet the woman who just died loved it.
Right.
Thought it was great.
To me, what I take from this is these stories are disappearing. They're gone.
Oh, yeah.
Find someone that you know that lived through this and talk to them, get it on tape, because we're not going to have them for very long.
I want to have Chippy on. I want to bring Chippy down. I love Chippy. I want to have Chippy in the vault.
Did you see this guy? He's gorgeous.
The other amazing thing about the woman is that she was actually an Austrian Jew who had fled Nazi persecution with her two younger sisters when she was 15. And her parents both died. They never made it here.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a fascinating story.
Still
and he's
love
still
that
alive.
Picture.
He's 94 years old. Lives in Rhode Island.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of censorship, I don't know if you guys are all caught up on the Facebook debate that's going on, but there was a writer in Norway who had just posted something on Facebook, like, these are some of the most memorable photos in history. And one of them included that famous Vietnam War photo of the little girl that's naked. And Facebook blocked it because they have that rule that you can't post any nudity on. And so the...
Can I tell you something? I have a completely different view, I think, than most people on Facebook, because I saw the frustration in Mark Zuckerberg's face.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, guys... Do you really think that we're sitting here trying to piss off half of America? First of all, why would we try to reduce the size of our footprint? Second of all, we don't have time. We have 170 countries we're in. He's like, to balance things like this, in some countries, what is being said is fine. In other countries, it's horrifying.
And they have to like try to find the balance.
They have to find the balance. And he's like, there's no winning. There's no winning in censorship with us. And he said, but there are some things we have to be black and white on.
So
I think that's probably what happened.
Is a person actually doing the censorship, or is this like an algorithm pulling things out?
It's an algorithm. Yeah. So Facebook has a lot of criticism right now because they just fired a bunch of their editorial staff, and now it's all computer algorithms.
But you know why he did that? To get the personal, to stop having us say, oh, well, look, they're just biased.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no win. There's no win.
But that very easily could be a cop-out. Very easily. They want the information going through their filter. I'm not saying this is what they're doing. Yeah. I'm just saying this could be.
But I mean, think about it.
That's very powerful.
You and I have disagreed on things before, but that's from your perspective. Each of our perspectives is different. So if you put somebody in there that's like, you know, I don't like African Americans, I'm going to say, well, that picture doesn't belong there. We need to pull that one out because it only needs to be white.
But they can push any narrative they want and say, hey, it's the algorithm going to work, and I don't have a choice because I have to deal with the entire world.
Imagine the argument, though, of ethics of that's porn.
Right.
No, it's not. That's child porn.
Right.
No, it's not. It's a famous picture. How does a computer have that argument?
I'm willing to say take the picture down if it takes off child porn pictures.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. Done. Sorry. It's one picture. You can go see it in a museum.
Hey, before we get into the next topic, I just want to remind you that tomorrow at this time, new show, and it's Tesla Edison tomorrow, isn't it?
It's the first part one.
Yeah, and it's called His Story. His Story, or History with the emphasis on story. It's a two-part episode, and you're going to love it. What'd you learn in history? I don't know, some dates, and I happened to be fascinated with history at the same time they were. And so I said, well, what are you talking about? Columbus, and he sailed the ocean blue in 1492. Do you know the story of Columbus? And I told them the story of Columbus. Forget the dates, forget the names, forget all of it. What's the story? My kids went from hating history to both of them getting their majors in history. Both of them absolutely loving history, because history's not about the dates. It's not about the names. It's about the story and then what you pull out of that story. Just to know a story is worthless. But to know a story and read it and say, oh my gosh, this is what I just learned from that. That's what's important. This staff has done amazing work. This is the first, this show and Vault, those two we have finished in advance because they're very production heavy, if you will. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing I am most proud of in the last 5 years of my life. And you've been with me for a long time trying to get here, and we're finally here.
Yeah, it's one of the most creative things I think we've done since I've been here, and I came in August
early.
2012.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's exciting.
It's really, really great. Don't miss it. Bring your family together. We're doing more shows that your family can watch at night together, because I know I'm having a hard time finding shows that my kids and I like to watch together. Okay, let's talk. Anybody see Sully this weekend?
Yeah.
I
want
to see it.
What'd you think?
I didn't dislike it.
A glowing review.
I thought it was the same. It was like, okay, that's good.
I thought it was too little story for a whole feature-length movie.
Here's the thing. This is what I thought of. Because first of all, that stuff with the NTSB, that didn't happen.
It's all contrived.
That's what,
it didn't happen. Everybody, the guy landed a plane on the water.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, okay, Jesus was the last one who kind of did something like that. You're a nice second, and it's taken 2,000 years. Nobody had a problem with him. And so that was all contrived. And the problem is, the event lasted 208 seconds. It was flawless. Everybody was calm. Mm-hmm. Nobody died. They all walked out on the airplane wing. The boats were there. You've got maybe a 10-minute movie, an exciting 10-minute movie.
The thing that was cool about it was after 9/11, and people needed, I mean, it wasn't immediately after, but people needed a pick-me-up. It was a rah-rah for America, you know, for him to do that in New York.
We did not really hit on that in the movie?
No.
They should have made it about that.
You know, they barely touched it. Yeah.
We should get the date of when that happened, and I should look up the archive. We should post the archive of my radio show, because we were on the floor, our facility then, Mercury, was looking at the river. The opposite corner of the studios looked at the river. So I was on the street, and I came back up into the building because they said a plane's just crashed in the river. And I said, terrorism? And they said, don't know yet. Went up, looked out the window, and I could see them standing on the wings. It was amazing. The next morning, I did a monologue on the miracle that I felt God was sending America a message. And we should listen to it again.
It was 2009, so it must have been after the Obama election, and we needed a pick-me-up.
It was. It was. It was in a really dark time. Really dark time. Do you want to take us out for a prayer?
Yeah, let's pray. Okay. Dear God, we just thank you so much for this day, and we thank you that we can all come together and just talk about some of the stuff in the news. God, we thank you for this week. It's a big week for us, and we just ask that everyone that's watching, they see you through it, and they just see some new great stories that will change people's lives. And we thank you for this team. We thank you for our audience. Just bless the rest of this week, and we just praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. From Dallas, good night, America.
Beck. The Blaze Radio Network.
Regardless, whoever wins the White House, we are facing serious geopolitical and economic challenges that could lead to the next great financial crisis. You need a recognized safe haven asset for your portfolio and IRA, and that asset is gold. Call Goldline and add physical gold to your portfolio or IRA at 800-913-GOLD. Goldline, been helping people diversify their portfolio with gold for over 55 years, rated A-plus by the BBB. Read Goldline's important risk information, but do it now, because crazy times are coming. 800-913-GOLD. 800-913-GOLD.